We got so much to get into, a two-hour show today. Before we get to Lakers pregame, the Lakers in Florida to take on the Toronto Raptors tonight, and we'll have that game for you right here on 710 ESPN at 4:30 p.m. In the meantime, John, so much is going on. By the way, still have not spoken to that family member. I don't want to say who it is, my brother, but I still have not spoken to that. I refuse to call that person.
I think that it may be a while, if you know what I mean.
Yes, it's mutual.
Yes.
Last night there was some spirit, there was some venom, there was some hatred, there was some disgust at Angel Stadium as they hosted the Houston Astros. I could not be prouder of Angels fans than I am today.
Why?
Because they stood up and they said, you know what? You guys cheat and we're never going to forget.
Now, do you think the person that threw the inflatable trash can should have been ejected?
The inflatable, technically, I think if you get busted throwing something onto the field, you probably do get ejected.
Now, the inflatable trash can is harmless. Now, the person that threw the actual trash can onto the field, I think that person should be ejected.
Yeah, I mean, there are multiples of those. I don't think they got all the people that actually wound up throwing trash cans. They were just taking trash cans from the colonnade and dropping them out onto the field. They let Houston know for sure how they felt. Here is a little bit. First of all, here is the introduction of the starting lineups last night at Angel Stadium. Now, here is the sound of, I forget who's calling this now. This is one of the trash can moments from last night.
Kurt Suzuki was kind of upset that first pitch was called a strike. So, trash can on the field.
I'm guessing that's an inflatable trash can that has been shared on the field. I don't know that I've ever seen an inflatable trash can.
I'm pretty sure, Mace, that is Darren Sutton, who Don's son, who the Angels hired to work the games with Gooby when Vasgersian can't do them.
Got it.
I'm pretty sure. I could be wrong. On and we can't call it Fox Sports West anymore. It's now known as Bally Sports West. So,
I don't even know what any of that means. What is Bally Sports West?
You know Bally's, the big casino in Vegas?
The casino company?
Yeah, they bought all of the Fox Sports regional.
Oh, okay,
terminals.
Got it. So now it's not Bally's. They're going to make it easy to gamble on those games, I'm sure, at some point.
I would think, yeah.
Yeah. Here is Dusty Baker after the game on the booing and the trash cans and all that stuff.
You can tell the amount of hostility and the amount of hatred in the stands. And, how many in the stands have never done anything wrong in their life, or we paid the price for it. How many people have not cheated, on the test or whatever at some point in time? I mean, it's easy, if you live in glass houses, but I don't think anybody lives in glass houses. And I think that sometime we need to look at ourselves before you spew hate on somebody else. Like I said, it's a sad situation for America to me. When you hear things, I mean, what are the kids supposed to think in the stands? Or and some of them are kids, they're following their parents, and it's sad to me. Like I said, people make mistakes, and we paid for ours, and we say leave it alone.
Okay, so a couple things. First of all, didn't pay for his. There you go. There's some trash can banging.
That's my trash can.
Trash can banging. Didn't pay for the mistake in any way whatsoever. None of those players were punished in any meaningful way. AJ Hinch and Alex Cora are both back in.
Yeah,
jobs.
I was gonna say. First of all, have you ever interviewed or met Dusty Baker?
Yes,
he is a great guy.
Yeah, he is.
I mean, they hired the perfect guy to lead them out of this mess because it's impossible to dislike Dusty. He played for the Dodgers for a lot of years. Of course, he was the manager. I like Dusty so much that I didn't even hate him when he managed the Giants, and I hate the Giants.
Yeah.
But I disagree with Dusty on a couple of things he said there. Number one, we paid for this. Dusty, the reason you have a job is because the manager got fired, if that's what you mean. But none of the players paid for this. They received no punishment whatsoever. Major League Baseball wet the bed on this thing from the beginning by not punishing the players. And because they didn't, Mace, is why we're in this situation. I think, I'll take this a step further. Had those guys all been punished and served, like Michael Vick doesn't get booed anymore when he walks into a place.
Right.
Because people generally view him as somebody who served his time.
And here there was no justice. There was no justice.
There was no penalty paid. So I don't think fans can move on from it because these guys got away with it.
And they also, the other thing Dusty said is what are kids going to think when they see this kind of... They're going to think don't cheat. You will not be a public pariah if you avoid cheating. And I, you know, this is something, this will go down as one of the things that I will never forgive. I will never forget. 2017, we had that World Series stolen from us by a team that was cheating and doing so in a systematic way, doing so in a way that everybody in that clubhouse was in on it. They all were either doing it or were completely aware of it, and there were no punishments handled, and I refuse to let that go ever. And by the way, the Astros have two games at Dodger Stadium this year later on in the summer. What scene that's going
to
be.
But, okay, I would have to read up more on the Astros cheating scandal, but they were cheating at home, correct, when they played in Houston? They didn't cheat in the game you went to, Game 7 of the 2017 World Series, when Yu Darvish blew the game. They didn't cheat that game. They couldn't, right? They can't.
Wait.
They couldn't set up a monitor in the hallway at Dodger Stadium.
You don't know that because the Indians, remember there was that whole scandal with somebody that was posing as an Astros quote-unquote intern that had a giant photographic lens that was in the camera bay at the Indian Stadium when they played against them in the playoffs?
So you think they may have figured out a way to cheat at Dodger Stadium?
Yeah, for sure.
So I will just jump in and say there is no evidence of that.
There isn't a line they wouldn't have crossed. They were willing to do.
But they certainly were willing to do it. And I would argue that in the case of that series, Yu Darvish, had the shortest start of his career in Houston where they were banging trash cans.
Well, and remember Clayton Kershaw, the game that I'll never forget, was it 13-12 or 14-13?
Game 5 of the World Series.
Where Kershaw, the Dodgers blew 2 4-run leads.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, that they clearly had help that day.
They absolutely did. And look, I don't think this is something anybody should ever forget. I was thinking about this today. Isn't this on par with it's not quite at the level, but I mean it's in the ballpark of the Black Sox scandal.
That's a good question.
Is it as bad as Tanya's?
Tanya's.
That's a good question. Hi, Michael.
Hey, Michael. Tanya and Nancy Kerrigan when she tried.
Michael, I would say it's not as bad as Tanya because that was a criminal act, and this was simply, where somebody suffered physical harm.
And Tanya was innocent.
Michael, you're the only one online.
Was innocent.
She didn't know Mace.
Oh, come on.
Michael, you're the only one of us that was, played at the professional level. If you found out that another team was cheating and it was proven, could you forgive him?
You mean cheating beyond the field of play where
there's
grabbing and fouling and trying to get away with it?
No, like this stuff. Your son Trace is a baseball player. I can't remember if he played in that World Series in 17.
No.
But he was on the team
time. Yeah.
If you found out, if you were a baseball player and you found out the other team was banging trash cans and using telephoto lenses and basically doing things that aren't allowed, could you ever move on from it, or would you always remember it?
You have to move on, but you never forgive them, because that's just going beyond. Stealing signs from second base, that's all part of the game. You don't mind that, but actually using digital cheating and finding, banging things because you know what pitch is coming because you're cheating by getting the signs unscrupulously or whatever it is.
Michael, I think
that's going too far.
I think the equivalent of this in the NBA would be, now all the coaches for playoff games have a microphone, so you can do that. If you found out that somebody had Pat Riley's huddle recorded, and they were telling the Celtics exactly right. what you guys were going to do, exactly what Riley said.
Somebody was wearing an Apple Watch, and it was sending a signal, and we were hearing exactly what was going on.
So they knew the plays you were going to run before you. It doesn't mean they would stop them, but it means they'd have an advantage.
Yeah.
Would the rest of the league forgive those guys or no?
No. No, that's going too far. That's going beyond, as they say, beyond the pale.
Yeah, and you know what? I don't think A.J. Hinch should be in another job right now. I know it worked out so well for him, and it worked out so well for Alex Cora, but aside from a brief time on the bench, they're right back in it, and they're right back to doing what they were doing before.
When I read the full report,
yeah,
Cora is way more culpable here than Hinch. The report says that when Hinch found out they were doing it, he yelled at him to knock it off and said, look, we're not doing this anymore. And they all said, okay, Skip, we'll do it. And then Cora went behind his back and reactivated it.
Yeah, but I mean, A.J. Hinch was clearly aware of it. It was going on. He may have thrown a fit one time or thrown a tantrum one time, but he didn't do anything to stop it. The buck stops right there. He's that leader of that clubhouse and of that team.
Cora's the manager of the Red Sox right now.
No, I know. The punishment should have been more severe for those guys.
They each got a year,
right? The punishment should have been more severe. What's that?
They each got a year?
Each got 1 year.
And they kind of lucked out because it was the COVID year?
Yeah.
And so they really didn't miss even 162 games. They missed 50.
And there's what some pent-up anger we saw on the field at Angel Stadium last night.
So
and no way do we endorse throwing stuff onto the field or any of that.
But if you are going to do that, inflatable trash cans are better than actual trash cans.
Better way to go.
Don't throw an actual trash can. That could hurt somebody.
Yes.
Inflatable trash can, kind of equivalent to a beach ball.
I cannot wait for those two Astro games at Dodger Stadium this year. Those are going to be really
That was
fun.
Actually a good game. I watched the eighth inning. The Angels scored four in the eighth to come from behind and win it. And Mike Trout is so good. They just can't get him out. And, you know, and now they have Ohtani. They brought in Ohtani to pinch hit, and he got hit by a pitch. And you said earlier that you think the Angels could sneak in for a playoff spot.
Yeah.
You might be right. They look good.
Meanwhile, last night, John, I was after the national championship game.
Yeah, nice prediction by another great Mason prediction.
I didn't put any mythical money on it. That was a terrible prediction.
You predicted Gonzaga would beat that team?
He said, he goes, Gonzaga won't only win, I will lay the points. There's no way you will lose to that, babe. Lindsay and I were both on base.
Michael, here was my theory. Tell me if my theory makes sense. Mm-hmm. A lot of times teams in the NCAA tournament, the really good ones, they will suffer a scare.
Sure.
And after they suffer a scare, all of a sudden they will be humbled and they will recognize the difficulty of the game and they will get back into a groove, but you got to survive a scare. I thought Gonzaga survived their scare with UCLA and would wind up winning the national title. That was the psychology I was playing. It was clearly wrong.
Yeah, it's a good philosophy, but when you're going against a team that's better skilled than you are, more athletic than you are, bigger, stronger, tougher, you don't have much of a chance.
Yeah, Baylor just overwhelmed them.
Oh, and they were hitting shots. They were hitting shots last night.
Defensively, Michael, they were quick that Gonzaga didn't know what hit them.
I know. Those guys are some players, man. Their boys are good.
Hey, by the way, did you hear, Michael, the Lakers have filled their last roster?
Yeah, I heard about Ben McLemore, but, I mean, okay. Have you seen his stats this year?
Right, but here's why he's going
to he's averaging 7-2-1.
It's not that. It's like he's shooting
33% from three.
I mean, come on.
All right, but
we got guys doing that already, Ireland.
Yeah, I know. But
we actually own the market on guys shooting 33%.
But here's why Ben McLemore is really easy to root for. Do you know his background?
Oh, yeah. I mean, this guy. My goodness.
Mace, the fact that this guy is even in the NBA is stunning.
Tell you what, why don't you hold that, and we will get to that next as we start to look ahead towards Lakers and Toronto. Coming up today at 3 o'clock is Spock and the Jock pregame. 4:30 is the tip. Mesa and Ireland Show, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This week, and we are giving away a $100 gift card to Roger Dunn Golf Shops every day this week. Here's how you win. Listen at 2:15 today. Ireland's got a dumb game for you to win. You can swing by Roger Dunn Golf Shops and get custom fit today. Shop them online at worldwidegolfshops.com. I have just had, in the pandemic era, John, my first major spill over all of the equipment.
The pandemic.
Wow, that surprises me. In a year?
In a year, this is the first major spill.
You used to spill a giant cup of coffee on the equipment at least once a week.
Yep. So far, so good. Nothing seems to have shorted out. If I disappear, you will know why.
Okay, so the Lakers have signed Ben McLemore, who was the seventh pick in the draft.
Fifth pick, I believe.
I'll look it up. But the thing that I remember the most about McLemore, and I think he came out in maybe 2013. He's from a really, really impoverished community in Missouri.
Okay.
He grew up on a street called Wellston Avenue, which they have since renamed in his. He's like you, Michael. He's got a street named after him
in
his hometown.
Nice.
All right. So he's the second youngest of six children. And when he was growing up, McLemore says on any given night, as many as 10 relatives, including siblings, nieces, and nephews, would sleep inside his home, which was only 600 square feet. The home's only bed has three legs, with the other corner supported by a pile of books. He remembers his mom working shifts for a cleaning staff downtown near Busch Stadium. He says that there was never enough food in the refrigerator, with no food on a lot of days. He said he and his brother would go through the neighborhood offering to cut grass, move trash, clean cars, fix motor scooters and bikes, anything that would yield a few dollars for a hot pocket. He said he grew up with hunger pains, and the only meals he had sometimes were the free ones at school. His mom sometimes had to sell food stamps in order to pay bills. When his family didn't have hot water, he remembers a nightly routine: fill the bathtub with cold water, heat up bowls of water in the microwave, then run them to the bathtub to make the tub water lukewarm for baths. He said the warmth never really lasted. McLemore says his family relied on candles when the electricity was turned off. They turned on the stove and hauled a kerosene heater to the middle of the room to stay warm. They would huddle in the room, covered in layers of clothing and blankets, sometimes able to see their own breath inside the house.
Oh, God.
Only when their bodies warmed and their noses no longer felt icy could they fall asleep. So this guys grew up in complete poverty, but he kept playing basketball. He worked on his game at a local court. His dad used to be the star of this court. They called it the Spectrum. And all he did was work on his outside shooting with the high school coach there, and he learned how good he needed to be from Bradley Beal, who grew up nearby.
Oh, wow.
But he said that he wasn't getting any coaching, and he really wasn't developing his game. And so he was looking for, you know, some place to go or some place to do. His older brother was arrested and jailed, the guy who he was raising all the money with. I mean, he's just
right.
Grown up in a complete world of poverty until he got to Kansas. Bill Self's heard about him, brought him to Kansas. He had a great college career, worked himself into being a top 10 pick in the draft, and now he's on the Lakers. Michael, he's one of these 3-and-D wings, these guys at 6'5", 6'6", who can play guard or forward. He's quick.
He's another McKinney.
Right. Yeah, that's a
good comp. Well, I think he's a notch above McKinney, though.
Maybe, yeah.
I mean, you know, the year before, 2019, he shot 40% from three. In his lifetime, 37% shooter from three. So he can shoot the three. He was not having a good year in Houston, but is anybody having a good year in Houston?
No. Maybe Christian Wood. That's about it.
Yeah, Christian Wood's having a nice year. But, I mean, beyond that, I think there's a lot of desperation in that team and not a lot of fight. So, no, I think, look, they wanted a 3-and-D guy. to fill that last roster spot. Ben McLemore fills the bill. I mean, the guys that I was sort of looking at were Avery Bradley, Ben McLemore,
I don't think Avery Bradley is going to get bought out.
Why not, do you think?
I think they like him. He's playing a lot down there. Oh, by the way, guys, Lakers are going to win this game tonight. I know you're going to laugh at me. But both Kyle Lowry and Fred VanVleet are out.
What?
The entire starting backcourt for the Raptors out tonight. This is our chance, Michael.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And Toronto has lost 13 of their last 16. Oh,
their record in Mace, their record in March, 1-13.
Winnable game.
Winnable game is right. Let's go.
Got to take them where you can get them.
Well, they're not used to playing in American air.
You think that's what it is?
Yes.
These guys have not been in Canada since before Christmas. They were they've played all their home games in Tampa, and when some of them were planning on going home, some of the players were planning on going home for the All-Star break, and that's when they had their COVID outbreak. Remember, Michael, even the coaches got it.
Yeah.
Nick Nurse and three of his coaches got kneecapped for a game, and so they had but having said that, 1-13 in the month of March, they are one game out of the 10th spot.
Yeah, that's crazy. In the Eastern Conference. Hey, I got an email, Kevin Kostura. Been listening to the show for years. Really liked your podcast, blah, blah, blah. Did you happen to see Dusty Baker's comments after the Angels game? Yeah, the one that we played. While I agree with his wording on hate in America, and it's not right for parents to yell inappropriate things in front of their kids, I think it's time the Astros just shut the F up and accept whatever blank is said to them. They cheated. They showed zero remorse. It might be bias, but F them. Suck it up and accept you guys are going to get booed and have trash cans tossed on the field for the rest of your life. Your thoughts. Love the show. Kevin Kostura, head volleyball coach at Hiram College.
Good. Men's or women's?
Yeah, thank you.
Men's volleyball coach.
Thanks. Thank you, Kevin, for listening. And
thanks,
for
Kevin.
Michael, I think that this is in the first paragraph of their Wikipedia pages forever. Of Bregman's, of Correa's, of Altuve's. All these dudes.
Do you think that's really why Altuve didn't want him to pull his jersey off because he had wires underneath? Really?
What other, other explanation?
Why else would he put his arms across his chest like some sort of soup? Don't touch me. Don't touch me. Wow. This is where I'm carrying the wires.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was such a – and, Michael, you know the advantage to this. You played baseball, right?
Michael, you saw the splits, right? How much better they hit in Houston versus outside of Houston?
Right, and – two was a breaking ball, sitting breaking ball.
Yeah.
Two is a breaking ball. If you know a breaking ball is coming instead of a fastball, you've got a huge advantage.
Oh, yeah.
Michael, ask Trace if he knew what was coming. How much is batting average?
Oh, yeah. Trace agrees that what they did was beyond egregious.
Yeah, yeah. So I think boo him and never let it go under any circumstance.
By the way, I think that's that series going on in Anaheim, Mace, is probably for the team that's going to win the West, right? Oakland looks a little down this year. I think it's either Astros or Angels that win that division, don't you?
Yeah, I think it is. Boy, you've come around on the Angels, huh?
Angels in the playoffs,
You know why? I love Ohtani. I think he's the ultimate stop-what-you're-doing player
right now. He's going to stay healthy.
I don't know. But, man, Michael, you can't take your eyes off him. In that Sunday night baseball game, in the top of the first, he threw a pitch 100 miles an hour, and then he came up and hit a 455-foot home run.
So is he the best all-around player in baseball then?
He's the only player who
pitch
can do
and
both.
Hit. Yeah, so that makes him the best all-around player in the game, right, Mace?
No, I think Mike Trout is still the best all-around player in the game.
But if a guy can be your ace
I need to see him do it somewhat consistently. Remember, he has not successfully stayed healthy to throw. How many games has he actually pitched for the Angels?
Not many. Remember, last year he didn't pitch at all. He just DH'd. But
he's lifetime 4-3 with a 4.19 ERA.
If a guy can get you 15 wins on the mound and then hit 25 home runs.
You're talking about a different scenario.
Is that a $500 million player?
Well, Mace, I think it's if he finishes 15-5 with a 3 ERA, 15-5, 3 ERA, and he hits 25 homers, and let's say he has an OPS close to 1,000, doesn't that get him the MVP?
That does get the MVP. That does get the MVP.
And how much money?
He's still on his rookie deal.
Will he be the first $500 million player then?
No, he will not.
Why?
No, he would have to do it for more than a year.
And he also needs to show that he can do it. He's had health injuries. He's had health issues. And you need to show that you can do it consistently.
But Michael, you would avoid you'd be impressed with this guy. He's got a like a big hulking figure.
Oh, no,
he's like 6'4", 220.
Ain't nobody else doing what he's doing in baseball.
Yeah, crazy.
Remember, it's his age 26 season. So he's right in the middle of his prime, age 26 season. Yeah, I'm rooting for him. And I, by the way, the other thing I love about the Angels, I love that they added Jose Quintana, who I think is going to be a really valuable starter, Dylan Bundy, Shohei Ohtani, Jose Quintana.
Well,
they've
Mace,
got
if
they
you
do have
their,
enough pitching.
If you watch their order when everybody's healthy, you have to pitch around Ohtani hits second, Trout hits third, and Anthony Rendon hits fourth. That's a tough 2-3-4 in their
lineup.
Sure is.
All right, coming up next for you, a new song, John, from a band that has been gone a long time. And everything is better
when it's
deep.
Earth, Wind,
and Fire? It's not. Everything is better when it's deep fried, right?
Except the Bengals?
For maybe this. No, you guys can continue to guess while we go to break. Mason and I are
the Lennon Sisters.
710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
One of the great bands of all time, Nirvana. Mason and Ireland, what is going on? Don't forget, we've got Lakers basketball coming for you tonight. 4:30 is the tip-off. Lakers in Florida against the Toronto Raptors, who have lost 13 of their past 16. And John says, will be without both Fred VanVleet and Kyle Lowry?
Correct. And
wow. The Lakers, they're not playing the Lakers today. You know who the Raptors are playing?
Whom?
Paleontologists.
What do you mean?
Because they're fossils. Because they're fossils. You know,
because our team is so beat up.
Yeah, they're a bunch
of
fossils, Mace. You get
Michael,
paleontologist. You know, like the Did you see Jurassic Park, Mace?
I did see Jurassic.
Well, he was a paleontologist looking for old dried up dinosaur bones.
Yeah, just not sure how those things fit together, but I'm sure it does in your head. So, Michael, you know the band Nirvana, right?
Yeah, Kurt Cobain, poor guy. Yes, of course. Everybody being up in the Pacific Northwest, we all knew that guy.
Yeah, brilliant guy. And, of course, died at the age of 27.
Anybody ever figured out why? Did he ever leave a note to say why he killed himself?
I know there were drugs involved. I don't know exactly if he – I thought he just OD'd, but
– No, he shot, but no, I don't shot, know the facts shot himself with a
shotgun. He shot himself.
Yeah. Oh, shot
he
himself.
He did leave a note, but
okay.
It was
– Why did he say he did it, Lindsay?
I just think he had a mental issue.
Let me get on to, as opposed to getting hung up there, 27 years after the death of Nirvana frontman Kurt Cobain, his sound is continuing on thanks to artificial intelligence software. So there's a new project called the Lost Tapes of the 27 Club. It is a musical project that utilizes AI to analyze up to 30 songs per selected musician who struggled with mental health issues and died at the age of 27, including Jimi Hendrix, Jim Morrison, Amy Winehouse, and Kurt Cobain. So what they've done
Janis Joplin, too.
Yeah, that's not included in this article, but you're right. So what they've done is they've taken 30 Nirvana songs, and they've fed them into a computer, and they've let AI recompose and record an actual modern day Nirvana / Kurt Cobain record. And again, this is all done with artificial intelligence. Tell me what you think of this. Now, doesn't that sound like an actual Nirvana song?
Yeah, that sounds good.
It does, although Cobain didn't write it.
No, Cobain, artificial intelligence wrote it.
What? How'd they do that?
Yeah, this is the world we live in now. You give artificial intelligence 30 songs and you say, okay, now go make a Kurt Cobain / Nirvana record. And that is what comes out. You could do that with any artist that has ever performed.
But wait, how'd they get the voice and the music and stuff, though?
Well, the music they just made The voice is what Mason's saying is that's AI.
That's AI.
Deepfake technology that people are using where they could, Michael, take everything you've ever said. Think about all the recordings there are of me and you doing games. Yeah. Like we've probably said every word in our vocabularies over 10 years of doing this, and they could create an AI version of you and me.
Well, that's brilliant because now, let's say whoever owns the Hendrix estate could do stuff for him and make money, right?
That's exactly what I said.
Yeah,
hey,
the Winehouse estate, the Jim Morrison estate, the Janis Joplin estate.
By the way, this is different from, you know, what's happening now is Prince, they went back and found after he died a whole bunch of unreleased stuff. And then did you guys know that during COVID last summer, that the Steve Winwood song Higher Love?
Yeah, with Whitney Houston.
Yeah, so I asked, listen to this, Michael. This is Whitney Houston released this year. This is Higher Love. Hit it, Jorge. So somebody found this.
I like that better than the original.
Yes, somebody found this sitting around. They hired Kygo, who's like one of these
Of the great DJs, producers.
Right. And they said, make a version. Take Whitney's voice and make a new version of Higher Love. Mm-hmm. And it turned into a gigantic hit. But that's different than what you're talking about, Mace. This was actually Whitney recording it, and it just never got released.
Right, and this was a computer analyzing all the Cobain stuff and then putting out a record based on that. Oh. So if you could have a new – now, would you want, John, for example, would you want a new – I'm trying to think who you love.
Jimi Hendrix.
Would you want a new Frank Sinatra, or is there something unbelievably – disingenuous about all this.
Who was the Supreme Court justice that said he knows it when he sees it?
Yeah, I forget which guy.
Yeah, Scalia, I believe.
I think it was Oliver Wendell Holmes, but it was a long time ago. But, Mace, I would know it when I hear it. You know, I don't want to tell you no, I don't want a new album. I thought the whole hologram thing was a little weird. Like when they were bringing guys, like you're bringing Tupac out of up at Coachella and putting him on stage on
Michael
a hologram.
Jackson. They did that with yeah.
But if I heard a song like you played with Kurt Cobain and I liked it and it sounded good, I would probably buy it.
And you wouldn't care that it's not really Kurt Cobain, that it's really a computer, that the human element has been eliminated.
I don't think I would. Would you?
Better not hearing him at all.
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah,
Adam
Bronstein just said David Bowie would be a great choice, and by the way, he would be.
Tom Petty died recently.
Freddie Mercury would be great.
Think how much they alter the music that is sung by human voices now anyway, though.
If anybody's into numerology, what is with number 27 in the ages? Because Brian Jones of the Stones, the original, he died at 27, too. That's weird, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is weird. I have a theory about it, and the list is actually pretty long.
Yeah, 27
for what they call the 27 club, a terrible club to be in. I think this is what it is. I think you are old enough to get in trouble, but not old enough to know better.
Mm-hmm.
Each comes with early fame and early money, and you don't know who you are until you're in your 30s. And during that period, the late 20s, you can really screw things up. That's my theory for why this goes on.
My attitude is always, in your 20s is when you have fun. In your 30s is when you start to figure stuff out. You probably meet your spouse. And in your 40s and 50s is for making money. And then after that, you get to decide what to do with it. But to die at 27 is tragic.
Especially the way Brian Jones did. I mean, have you ever looked at – because I'm a Rolling Stones addict. And you look at all their old videos of them recording in the studio.
Yeah.
You could see that he was not there. He was gone.
Right. Well, Michael, George says he has found people trying AI to continue the Jimi Hendrix legacy. Do you have it now, Jorge? That doesn't sound too clean.
It sounds like he's just like riffing in like in a garage.
Yeah, it sounds like this is what he did when he was just starting a concert.
Yeah, exactly. Or at practice or something. You're just walking. He's
like
practicing.
Practice. Yeah, yeah. Warming up the crowd, revving it up a little bit.
Plus, they got to come up with something new if you're going to do Hendrix. You can't play the old stuff.
Yeah, no, well, the whole idea is, to have somebody new, have something new.
Yeah.
877-710-ESPN. By the way, I should mention, you can email the show at any time, venicemace@gmail.com. And if you want to email John directly, what's your address, John?
venicemace@gmail.com.
There you go. Perfect. We will read some of your emails as we go along. By the way, I've got breaking Bitcoin news. Breaking Bitcoin news. And everything is good when it's deep fried, except maybe this thing. That is coming up next.
All right, hold on, Mace. We got a guy online that does this for a living. This is This is Brian. He says he takes AI and makes music. Brian, how do you do that?
Hey, it's Brent. How you doing?
Sorry,
hey, Brent.
Hey, guys. So I run a music technology company called Exhale. We are not AI, but we get the question all the time. And we've done something similar in a rudimentary way. We worked with one of the most famous rock bands. I can't name them. You know, we signed something with them. But we analyzed their entire catalog of songs for key, tempo, type of instruments, type of guitar, lyrics, and fed it into our system. And then we know the DNA of their songwriting. And the thing that you guys were playing with Nirvana, it's AI that is machine learning. It learned what Nirvana songs are supposed to sound like, including the lyrics, which is the weird thing.
Okay, so
and then
Brent,
the machine, yeah.
Theoretically, could you take, if we gave you 1,000 games of Michael and I doing play-by-play of games, could you have us be doing games in the future?
Yeah, absolutely. And the weirder thing is this. If we recorded your voice in the Siri-type fashion with all the little verbal intonations that they know, that we can replicate your voice beyond you, we could be creating new games with your actual voice, your intonation.
Michael, we're going to live forever.
Yes. Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's crazy, man. Well, listen, Brent, thanks for chiming in, man. We appreciate it.
Thanks, you guys.
Thanks,
all right,
Brent.
Cool. Coming up next for you, Bitcoin news. Also, everything is good when it's deep fried, except maybe this. And last night, a dramatic season debut for Dustin May of the Dodgers. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
What is going on?
You know who that is, don't you, Mace?
I don't.
Really?
Come on, Mace.
What?
No,
what's
not
wrong with you?
Turn it up, Jorge.
Is
you don't
it,
have any
Bieber? Is it
no,
JT?
It's Timberlake. It's in sync. It's early in sync.
Yeah, but they all sound alike. Boys to Men. I mean, not Boys to Men, but the Backstreet Boys, In Sync, 98 Degrees. They all sound alike.
No, they don't. In Sync was the best. I saw
NSYNC
them in concert.
In Sync was the best of the group, yeah.
Ah, Backstreet Boys. Were. Come on. Backstreet Boys.
No,
you don't like the Backstreet Boys?
No.
Yeah.
No. Team NSYNC over here.
That's right. These idiots don't know what they're talking about. NSYNC dwarfs those other bands.
Really?
All right. So I wanted to get to this. Last night, John, I don't know if you got a chance to watch it. It was after the national championship game last night, but Dustin May was on the mound for the Dodgers.
It's going to be May.
And Dustin May was absolutely fantastic, went 6 innings, allowed 2 hits, no earnings, 2 walks, 8 strikeouts, and a Dodger win as they improved to 4-1. Here is Dave Roberts on Dustin May after the game.
Dustin is, I think we've talked about it, is there's a lot of low-hanging fruit, a lot of opportunity to get him to be even better. I thought this, you know, in spring training, he really worked on the breaking ball, striking it, shortening it. But today, it was just really the fastball and hard. It was the fastball up, the cut fastball, and the two-seamer. And he just really commanded the top part of the zone tonight, got left and right out, was efficient. And to see him get through 6 innings was really good to see.
So after the first time through the rotation, the two most impressive pitchers have been starter number 4, Julio Urias, and starter number 5, Dustin May.
It's going to be May.
It's going to be May.
No, it's going to be May.
Oh, it's going to be
right.
May?
It's going to be May. Yeah, that's we're trying to start something here. That could be like his walk-in song.
It should.
It's going to be May. There you go. Yeah, but he was fantastic last night. And that rotation, it shows you how loaded that rotation is.
That was supposed to be the weak part of the Dodgers starting rotation. Like, the top part is Kershaw, Buehler, Trevor Bauer. And you're pointing out that it was Urias and May that looked better than the top three guys.
Yeah. By the way, Zach McKinstry, 3-for-4 last night, 2 RBI singles, a sac fly. He's now 6-of-11 with a homer, 3 doubles, and 4 RBIs.
Yeah, his homer was an inside-the-park job.
Yeah, weird inside-the-parker, yeah. It's Clayton Kershaw versus Chris Bassett tonight. And that game, of course, is in Oakland. Dodgers have their home opener on Friday afternoon. Are we going to do the thing where we drink a shot every time the Dodgers score a run?
What time is their game?
It's at 1.
Ooh, that would be interesting. Let me think. I don't have a Laker game, so I
interesting.
Could do it. Yeah. I just bought another bottle of Cranston's tequila. I could do a shot of Cranston's tequila every time the Dodgers score a run.
What if they score like 12 runs in the first 2 innings?
I think it'll be the best show we've ever done.
Oh, it will be such a great show.
Although, Mace, do we need to be careful after, you know, I don't even know if I'm allowed to mention this. Am I allowed to mention the firing yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, they let go, parted ways with Paul Pierce. But we're not doing
We're not putting it on videotape and sending it out to the world, are we?
Not a crazy live feed with
No,
with
you're only
that kind
broadcasting
of stuff.
It out on the radio.
Yeah,
today.
Correct.
We may, yeah, may not be the smartest move. We'll see.
Yeah. By the way, that's Friday at 1:10 p.m. So just as we go on the air is the Dodgers home opener. We will have it for you here.
So do they play every day?
By have it, I mean we'll talk our way through it.
Do they play every day this week? Do you know?
They have Thursday off.
I'm trying to figure out who's going to pitch on Friday. So
okay, it's Kershaw.
It's probably Bauer, right?
Bauer.
No, it's or Buehler.
Kershaw, Bauer, Buehler.
And then Urias?
Urias is Thursday.
But you said they're off
it
Thursday.
It should be Urias on Friday. Urias on Friday.
No, it should be Buehler on Friday, right?
I'll look it up. Because we've got tonight. Right, tonight we've got tonight we've got Kershaw. That's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Yeah, you're right. Why, are you going out to the park?
No. I'm just worried. I'm just curious who's pitching.
Oh, okay. For the home opener.
Yeah.
By the way, John,
Buehler. It's Buehler. Bauer pitches tomorrow. It's a day game tomorrow in Oakland. Kershaw tonight, Bauer tomorrow, Buehler on Friday.
So Buehler gets the home opener.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice. Against the Nationals on Friday. So, John, I've been telling you for a while, and you just don't listen to me, and sooner or later you're going to get it, and it's going to be too late.
Okay. What are you telling me now?
The Sacramento Kings have begun offering employees the right to be paid in Bitcoin.
The players cannot be paid in Bitcoin because it's against the CBA.
So is it the organization?
Yeah. Well, I mean, they can't pay the players in Bitcoin. It's not allowed by the league rules because the league looks at Bitcoin like I do. It's not a proven commodity. So, you know, what if some player gets paid in Bitcoin? Like, who's the highest paid player on the Kings?
There are NFL players that have been paid in Bitcoin.
Yeah, but the NBA does not allow it. It's banned by the CBA. You cannot pay a player in Bitcoin.
Interesting. So you can, Sacramento Kings become the first major sports franchise to offer a Bitcoin payment option to all players and staff.
Right. The players can't take it.
It says all players and staff.
Well, they can offer it. The players, it's not allowed by the CBA.
There's a back and forth on Twitter with Darren Rovell and some people, because Darren Rovell is making the point that John's making. But I guess that there's some kind of loophole where I guess players can sign something.
Well, Bitcoin is just cash. That's what it is. It's cash. People have the wrong idea about it. It's not like you're not buying Top Shots. You're not buying moments of dunks and stuff. It's actual cash money. Like, you can have it in your Apple wallet and pay for stuff using Bitcoin.
Send me lunch.
In fact, I woke up, you know, if I wake up with $40 in Bitcoin, I could go to bed with $60 in Bitcoin.
This is what Vivek Ranadive says. I'm offering everyone in the Kings organization as much of their salary in Bitcoin as they want. And again, the story is why it doesn't. An athlete getting paid in Bitcoin is no different than an athlete getting paid in dollars, then using those dollars to buy Bitcoin.
According to CBA rules, it's not allowed. It has to be cash via check into the player's hand or into his bank account. That's the rules.
Well, it sounds like Vivek Ranadive is going to try to go around that rule.
Well, I guess if you were the owner and I was the player and I signed a waiver and said, hey, I prefer to be paid in Bitcoin, you and I could work out an
arrangement. Yeah, I mean, Bitcoin's just money. It's just what form do you want your money in? Do you want it in U.S. cash? Do you want it in U.S. dollars? Do you want it in Bitcoin? You have that option. You have that ability. And Bitcoin, the reason I do it, Russell Okung is the guy from the NFL that did it. He had half of his salary in Bitcoin, and the Bitcoin went through the roof. So he made way more money by getting paid in Bitcoin than he did. I mean, Bitcoin is like $50,000 a coin now.
Right.
It's real legitimate money.
Mm-hmm. And what do you use it for?
You can buy stuff. You can buy stuff. You want to buy Dallas Mavericks tickets? You want to buy a Tesla? Do you want to buy? They accept Bitcoin for stuff now.
Is it a physical coin?
It's digital money. Oh. How much real money do you carry with you, Michael?
On the average, I'd say about $3,415 a day.
No.
What, in cash?
Yeah.
I don't even have that much money in my bank account.
By the way, you guys, is it weird that my wife never carries cash?
I don't carry cash.
I don't usually.
But when
either.
I say
cash, like, is pointless.
But wait a minute. How do you tip people? Are you just a cheapskate and you don't tip?
Yeah.
No, most places you can tip now digitally.
Right.
Just like you can pay digitally.
Yep. Well, Michael and I are in hotels all the time. We got to have money.
Right. Like my Grubhub delivery person, they get paid digitally. They get paid their tip.
So, Mace, when you go on this trip, when you go on this trip next week, you're not going to leave anything for the housekeepers?
It's a good question.
Long pause.
No, the answer is no, because he doesn't carry cash.
That's right.
Well, usually if you're going to go on a trip that you account for that? Because I do. You take out a little bit of cash.
Oh, yeah, I guess you do. When you go on a trip, you take a little cash. I just don't use cash. I use my Apple Pay all the time. I use my Starbucks app. I use my Apple Pay. I use my credit cards. I don't see any purpose for cash. I especially don't see any purpose for change. Like, can't we get rid of change? What are pennies actually worth?
So everything should be right on the button.
$1, $2. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, my
it should be like
there's
a great
of,
big dollar store.
There's a lot of people, Michael, you and I interact with that would be SOL, as they say, if the cash went away.
Yeah. All the doormen and. Yeah.
But Meg Mace, how would you even go to New York? Everybody's got their hand out in New York.
Right.
How are you going to greet the waiter to get a good table?
Yeah.
You can give people cash, like, hey, what's your. You can do like phone to phone.
No,
hold your phone.
Yeah, you can.
If I want to tip the housekeeper, I never see her. Mm-hmm. All right, so I like, for example, I'll check out of my room.
But you're you're choosing hypotheticals where you must have cash to tip the housekeeper.
Right.
Right. When you go to a hotel. But I'm talking about just in my daily life. I don't carry any cash. My wallet has no money in it whatsoever. I have my phone. I've got my Apple Pay. I've got my credit cards. I've got what I need.
And when you go to get your little coffee or whatever, does your card not work sometime? They got to swipe it like 10 times while the people behind
are
infuriated?
It's one quick scan.
Yeah, Michael, you know another reason why I have to carry cash?
Right.
Golf bets.
Of course.
Nobody's taking digital money in golf.
Nobody's taking Venmo on golf bets.
Worthy paid me in Venmo once.
Oh, there. Yeah. So you can live without cash. You can live without cash. All right. Hang on a second. Real quick. Jorge says go to a call. Jorge, just introduce them.
DeAndre from Torrance.
DeAndre from Torrance. DeAndre, what's going on, man?
Hey, fellas. You know what? I was thinking about the whole AI conversation. Wouldn't it be great if you guys did a broadcast with Chick Hearn?
Oh, be unbelievable.
Can you imagine?
Although if Chick
did it, Michael, take me back.
Yeah, Michael and I would just get out of the way.
Yep.
Let Chick go.
Boy, that would be incredible. The idea that you could feed like 20 Chick Hearn games into the computer and AI would spit them out as a game as it comes out. That would be an unbelievable.
You mean like actually do a real game with Chick?
Well, what they're saying is they could create a database where Chick could announce anything. The problem would be, like, the players' names. Like, Chick never said the name LeBron James.
And what about and the action changes in the game? How does he keep up with it? I mean, I don't get that.
What's a computer, Michael?
I don't think you – I don't know if you could necessarily do it live.
Live
I mean,
game,
I'm sure,
yeah.
I'm sure eventually you could. But as far as the names go, you don't need to say LeBron James. You take the sound of him saying,
and you put it all together.
That's all we need. All we need. All right, coming up next for you is Fast Track, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.